we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. Though if I'm sitting down there, yeah. I appreciate the opportunity though to try to preach the Word of God. Thank Him for saving me and calling me. Thank you for how good He's been to me. If you have your Bible, we'll take a text this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4. All right, if you have your place in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 says, "And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell man, no man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I want to try to preach for a few minutes this morning on the leper's testimony. He said in verse number 4 that he was to go after he had been healed and present a gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We have to remember the terribleness of leprosy in the days of Jesus, in the days of Israel. It was without question the most feared disease that any person could have. There was at that time no natural cure for leprosy. In fact, it said in that day, I guess true in this day, they say there's 200 people in America on average that have leprosy. That's one of the least in any of the nations on earth. They say that the smell of leprosy is an unmistakable smell. And when they come in contact with someone, they were always required by the law to cover their upper lip and cry unclean, unclean. Amen. And you could imagine the situation here when you look at this text of Scripture. He's just come off the Sermon on the Mount. Verse number 1 tells us great multitudes followed him. And out of the woodwork comes a leper crying, unclean, unclean. And we know in the Scriptures there were times that there was such a throng of people around Jesus, people had to press hard just to get to him. This man didn't have to press hard to get to him. They gave him the right of way. They got out of his way. They wanted nothing to do with a leprous man. They gave him a full interstate highway to get to where God was. I got to noticing that, really, I've heard it said numerous times about Jesus healing lepers, but you know, in the Scriptures, nowhere does it ever say that Jesus healed a leper. It always says that Jesus cleansed a leper. And a leper is a type of a sinner. And leprosy is a type of sin. In fact, that's one of the greatest types in the Bible of sin in the Old Testament is leprosy and a leper. I noticed several things as I looked at leprosy that they have in common with a sinner. Both of them start inwardly and work themselves outwardly. You and I were rotten to the gums to start with. We were born and shapen in iniquity, the Bible said. We were sinners depraved from God. There was no goodness, no spark of divinity, no light in me and you whatsoever. Both of them started out small and grow bigger. And that's the size of it. Sin just keeps enlarging itself when it's placed somewhere in the life of somebody. Both of them defile everyone and everything that they touch. In fact, you and I'd be hard-pressed to look at anything in our world and not see that it's been somewhat defiled by sin. We also notice that sin causes disfigurement. A lot of people would say, well, I don't know about all of that. Well, if you putting coloring on your hair and you're a woman, that's a part of the disfigurement. If you look at my head up here, I've done lost half of my hair or more, and that's a part of the disfigurement that there is. We've been disfigured by sin. And both of them caused in that day and in our day a separation and death. Eventually eternal death if somebody died in that condition. But we notice this leper came to Jesus. We notice the touch of the Lord on this leper. It says, "And behold, they came a leper and worshipped him." I thought that interesting word that was placed there in the Gospels by the Holy Ghost. Mark's Gospel says that this leper came kneeling down to him. Luke's Gospel says that this leper came and fell on his face and besought him. But Matthew says that this leper worshipped him. When you look at it in the context of Matthew, he's presenting Jesus Christ as the king. And that word worship there is a word connected with kingship. And it literally means to touch the ground with the forehead as an act of submission and respect and worship of a king. I'd have to say this leper, when he come bowing down to Jesus and asked Jesus to help him, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst. We see that this leper came just based on the mercy and grace of God. You know, when you think about leprosy in that day, there was no cure. The only cure there was by the grace and mercy of God. And that's the same way sin is today. There's no fix we've got for it. There's no cure apart from the mercy and the grace of God. I'm glad he said the grace of God hath appeared to all men. I'm glad one day that grace was revealed to me and I saw his abundant grace given to me. The leper here was cleansed by his faith in the Lord. He said, if thou willst, thou canst. I don't know how you consider this, but when I look at this text of Scripture, I think about this being the first time that this leper ever worshiped the Lord. I can tell you when my first time was. I can't tell you about all the other times, and thank God there's been a lot of them, but I can tell you about the first time I worshiped the Lord was that Sunday morning on June the 17th, 1979, when I'd been under conviction for some time, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart on a Sunday morning, and as soon as my knees bent to go down in the altar, it felt like an elephant got off of my back. The Lord of glory lifted the load of sin off of me and saved me by his marvelous grace. I'm quite sure I asked him to save me. I don't even know what the words were, but it's not based on the words. The Bible said a man believeth with a heart unto righteousness and is saved. Thank God I was a part of what this man was. I had a person, I taught this in Sunday school before I left Lyledown, and I had a person kind of challenge me on it. He said, I don't believe I'd always put that much emphasis on that one day. And I love the man. I appreciate him. I believe he's a saved man. And he said that to me, and I said, well, I said, if it hadn't been for that one first day, I wouldn't be standing right here where I am today to worship all them other days for what he's done for me. And I understand there's been a lot of good days in God since then, but I thank God for that day that it was ordered for me to bow in an altar and believe on the name of the Son of God. This leper was cleansed according to the mercy and grace of God. And if you're saved, that's exactly according to what you've been cleansed by. He was cleansed by his faith in the Lord. He was cleansed by the power of the Lord. The Lord said in this text, I will, be thou clean. He was cleansed by the word of God. Hallelujah. He said, be thou clean. But I want to give you the last part of my time as we look at this on the testimony of the leper. I had two thoughts on the testimony of the leper. He told him here to go give the gift that was ordered for a testimony unto them. You know, God took 116 verses in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 just to tell them how to deal with a leper and leprosy. There's a lot of reading in there. Take you a good 45 minutes if you're a good reader just to cover them verses. But this man, I believe there's two reasons I want to notice why God sent him to do that. He first of all sent him to give him a testimony his own self. He'd saved him. One of my former pastors, Brother Rick Safford, he's my pastor, I guess, for about 8 years, and he had a saying you heard him say often. He said, a man with a testimony is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I say, hallelujah, that's right. There's been some people who's tried to argue me out of my salvation, but because I had a testimony, I was able to stand against any argument they had. They could say whatever they wanted to. They probably seen me fail and fall and sin and mess up. But I could always say, yep, if you watch me long enough, you'll see me sin, you'll see me mess up. But if you keep watching me, you'll see me bowing an altar somewhere and ask God to help me and to forgive me and help me to walk according to what he saved me by and with. I'm glad to say we've got a testimony as the people of God. This was a long process. It was two sacrifices had to be offered. I don't know if I got time to give it all. When the light comes on, I'll shut down. But the first thing he had to do was he had to take two clean and living birds. They could go as cheap as a sparrow because most lepers were broke. They wasn't able to work. They didn't have the money other people would have had. And our Bible does tell us about a couple rich lepers, but that didn't cure the leprosy. But they could take a sparrow. They could take two sparrows. They could take two doves or two pigeons. But when they took those two doves, they'd take one of those birds that they took, and they'd take fresh water in a pan, and they'd wring its neck off. And when you wring a bird's neck off, I don't know if you've ever done any of that. I've done some of that in my day, in dove hunting and quail hunting and chicken houses. We've done a little bit of that. A bird's heart beats three times faster than any other thing God's ever created. It's a part of what makes it able to fly because it's able to pump its blood three times faster than what we can. So when you wrung that bird's head off, all that blood in its body pumped out. And that blood would be pumped out according to Leviticus in that fresh pan of water. And then they'd take three other things. They'd take hyssop, they'd take a cedar board, cedar plank, and then they'd take scarlet dye, which came from the toll of worm. And they'd mix those three things together. And they'd take that mixture that they had there and they'd place it on that other bird and sprinkle all those things in that mixture. And then they'd turn that other bird, they'd take him out into an open field. And they'd turn him loose and he'd fly away. And really, that was just a type of Jesus Christ. In fact, it said that he would, that bird would be placed in an earthen vessel. That would be what we'd call a jar. That'd be similar to what we'd call a jar. He'd be placed in that earthen vessel. And I just remind you this morning that Jesus Christ was placed in an earthen vessel, that the Son of God, that who had always been the Son of God and always will be the Son of God, became the Son of Man when the Holy Ghost, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he was impregnated into the womb of a virgin named Mary, and he was born into this world as an earthen vessel, and he came into this world that with that earthen body that he might carry my sin debt and your sin debt and the sin debt of all mankind up Calvary's hill, that he might die as our sacrifice there. That's what that represented in that was given there. But also that running water, that fresh water that was placed there represents the Word of God that has the power to reach to the lowest place. Whenever you pour water out, it's going to run to the lowest place it can. I'm glad when the Word of God's preached, it's not beyond somebody's head or over their head. It goes to the lowest of sinners. It goes to those that are the vilest, the sorriest, the most undone, and it reaches to where they are. You notice in our text also that running water, it represented the Word of God and its power to reach people. But that cedar represented the wooden cross upon which the Savior died, that he took upon himself the tree, that he was not ashamed of the tree but took the tree. That scarlet dye represents the permanence of the blood of Christ that's been put on my account and been put on your account. And that hyssop's an interesting thing. It was a fragrance. It was a thing that was a many fragrances, a sweet-smelling savor that they used around the temple, around sacrifices, to kill out all that smell of the blood and the guts that was there around the temple. And it reminds us, just as bloody and awful, gory as that scene was, as Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, amen, his Father had forsaken him. But in the events of it all, we know that his Father was able to lean back over what Christ did and smell a sweet fragrance, because he had provided for us a great salvation. He had made a way for us to have access to a heavenly Father and to God Almighty. I say hallelujah for what he's provided for me and you. I thought about just that part about the blood, the toll of worm. That toll of worm's an interesting creature in Israelites' day. That worm was the female worms. When they were impregnated by the male, they'd crawl up a sapling about 3 foot high, and they were a scarlet red color, and they'd fasten themselves permanently to that sapling. They would die, and when they died, their blood would pour out on their young, and that would be where that scarlet color come from. It would color them in scarlet. And then after she had died and fastened herself to that thing and that young was under her, her young would eat of her body and eat of her flesh until all of it was gone. And then she'd, on the outer part that was left, turn pure white and just flake off. And those worms would crawl down that tree and carry on the cycle of life. I'm just here to remind you that he said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And we've come by this week to take part of his body and his blood. And I bless his name that he made a sacrifice for you and me, who were lepers outside of the covenant of God, outside of all the blessings of God Almighty, that we might be free, free, free. Thank God, free in him.